ಆತ್ಮಶಕ್ತಿಯಕ್ಷಾನ್ ಸರಿಸ್ಪೃಶ ಪಶೂನ್ ಖಗದಂಡ ಶೂಕಾನ್ ತೈಸ್ತೈರತುಷ್ಟ ಹೃದಯ ಪುರುಷಂ ವಿಧಾಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾವಲೋಕ ದಿಶನ ಮುದಮಾಪ ದೇವ ಮತಜಿಸ್ ಸೃಷ್ಟ್ವ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಪುರಾಣಿ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌಸ್ ದ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಸೋಲ್ಸ್ ವಿವಿಧಾನಿ ಮೆನಿ ವೆರೈಟೀಸ್ ಅಜಯ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿ ಏಜೆನ್ಸಿ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಯಾ ಆತ್ಮಶಕ್ತಿಯ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ ವೃಕ್ಷಾನ್ ಟ್ರೀಸ್ ಸರೀಸೃಶ ರೆಪ್ಟೈಲ್ಸ್ ಪಶೂನ್ ಆನಿಮಲ್ಸ್ ಖಗ ಬರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದಂಡ ಶೋಕಾನ್ ಸ್ನೇಕ್ಸ್ ತೈ ತೈ ಬೈ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ವೆರೈಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಅತುಷ್ಟ ಅನ್ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ಹೃದಯ ಹಿಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಪುರುಷಂ ದ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ವಿಧಾಯ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ದ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಅವಲೋಕ ವಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಧಿಷಣ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಯೂಟಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮುದಂ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಆಪ ಅಚೀವ್ಡ್ ದೇವ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ಹೆಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಯಾಂಡೆಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ಪೊಟೆನ್ಸಿ ಮಾಯಾಶಕ್ತಿ created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet, by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and become pleased. Purport. God has specifically created the human form of life to facilitate the liberation of the conditioned soul. Therefore, one who abuses human life prepares his path to hell. As stated in the Vedas, Purushatve cha vistararam atma. In the human form of life, there is good possibility of understanding the eternal soul. The Vedas also state, Tabhyo gam anayatta abhruvan, navainoyam alam iti, Tabhyo shvam anayatva abhruvan, ನವೈ ನೋಯಂ ಅಲಮಿತಿ ತಾಭ್ಯ ಪುರುಷಂ ಆನಯತ್ತ ಅಬ್ರುವಂ ಸುಕೃತಂ ಬತ. ದ ಪರ್ಪಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಮಂತ್ರ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಲೋವರ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸಚ್ ಆಸ್ ಕೌ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಾರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಸೂಟೇಬಲ್ ಟು ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್. ಬಟ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅವಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಇಟರ್ನಲ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ವಿತ್ ಗಾಡ್. ದಸ್ ಒನ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ದ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ ದ ರಿಯಲ್ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಲೈಫ್. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, the Supreme Lord personally feels happiness and gradually reveals himself to his devotees. The Lord's material creation consists of the living entities and dead matter, which the less intelligent try to enjoy. The Lord, however, is not satisfied by those species that blindly strive for sense gratification without understanding spiritual nature. We are suffering due to our forgetfulness of Krishna and the peaceful situation of his abode. If we accept the Lord as protector and shelter and execute his order, we can easily revive our eternal blissful nature as parts and parts of the personality of Godhead. It is for this purpose that the Lord has created human life. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಾ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಃ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗನಾ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾರ್ವಧೂತಂ परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश नमा ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So I'd like to seek blessings of all the devotees before I could speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So this verse in gist is speaking about the importance of human form of life. So inherently every living entity is bound to be happy. It wants to be happy. But somehow or other we have landed up in such a situation that although we are trying a lot for being happy in this world, still we are not getting success in it. Eternally we all are Satchitananda Vigraha, full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. But because we have contaminated ourselves over the evolution cycle in this material world, so we are not able to develop that ananda, the bliss in our life. And of course, everyone is looking for this ananda in a very artificial mode. There is a nice example which we can relate to in this context. Once a teacher, she instructed a student that go and get a ice cube. So the student went to the lobby and he opened the door of the fridge and was handling that ice cube. So time went on, but he didn't return. So the teacher went back to him and she saw that he was examining the ice cube very particularly. And the teacher asked him, "Why? What you are observing in that?" So he said that there is no crack in this cube anywhere, but still the water is dripping from it. So that is the situation of all of us. We all are artificially trying to visualize things and think that it will help us or it will be beneficial for us in this human form of life where we can enjoy to the utmost experience. But all our artificial attempts in this world will go in vain. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vidura and Maitreya Samvad, so Vidura is inquiring with Maitreya Rishi, Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vinayat uparamam va. So in this verse Vidura is inquiring that everyone is looking after for enjoyment and happiness by fruitive activities, but nobody is getting that happiness in this world. So in the next verse he presents that Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivad. So in this line itself, Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivad. So the common man has become Vimukha, has turned his face away from Krishna. And how he can attain the Supreme Lord Krishna? And apart from that, Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya. is very diligently following the rules and regulations of being irreligious. And that is why he is always in misery. So then after a few chapters, Vidura starts speaking. He says that Soham Nrinam Shulla Sukhaya Dukkham Mahadgatanam Viramaya Tasya Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam Yad Aha Sakshat Bhagavata Rishaya. He says that everyone is looking after this Kshulla Sukhaya, the little happiness, whereas they all are getting Dukham Mahad, large quantity of misery. And there is no other way than seeking shelter of great souls and the process of bhakti. Apart from that, he cannot be saved from getting engaged in the process of devotional service. So if you see these verses, there is a very particular verse, particular word, Nirnam, used here. So Nirnam signifies a human being. So why is this word Nirnam used there? They could have used the word Jiva also. This is because this transcendental subject matter cannot be discussed with the cats and dogs who are of lower propensities. That is why there comes the importance of this human form of life. For example, suppose we have a Mercedes Benz and we try to use it for tilling the land. So it is most unproductive usage of that vehicle. Similarly, if we have a Mahindra tractor and we try to drive it on a Mumbai-Ahmedabad highway, although we are on the fourth gear, still we will not be able to have a pickup of the vehicle. So human life has to be utilized for some higher purpose and not for animalistic tendencies. Because this human form of life has been very, very rarely achieved by a living entity through this evolution cycle. In the third canto itself, where Lord Kapila's instructions are there to Mother Devahuti, he completely explains to Mother Devahuti about how this evolution cycle happens. He says that the living entities, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport as organisms, are very superior to inanimate objects such like dead stone matter. Better are those living entities which display life symptoms. For example, we have hills. In the previous ages, it is said that the hills used to grow and they used to move also. So they displayed life symptoms. Above that are animals with developed consciousness, and more above than that are those living entities which have developed sense perception. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the moksha dharma of Mahabharata, it is mentioned that the trees are a best example for the living entities in this category for having developed the sense perception in this evolution cycle. Because Prabhupada mentions there that when the tree is growing, if any obstacle is there in between, it tries to mold its direction. Then above that, there are living entities which have sense of touch. Like we have different kinds of trees. There is one tree which in Hindi we call Sharmili. So if you touch it, it winds up. Then above sense of touch, there are living entities who have sense of taste. So Prabhupada mentions fishes in that category. And above that are living entities who have sense of smell. So we have example for the bees. Because bees wander here and there looking for flowers, fragrant flowers, and then they derive nectar from it. Above them are the living entities who have sense of hearing. In this category, example is given of the serpents. Above that are the living entities who have knowledge to distinguish between one form and another. So these are the birds and the crows. And above that are those living entities who have upper and lower teeth. Better than them are those having multiple legs, like we have the wasp. And better are four-legged animals. And better than them are human beings. And now, Bhagavatam also very distinctly explains about any human beings who are better and the best. The society of human beings, which is divided amongst, based on the criteria of work and quality, that is the highest. And in that, people who possess high intelligence, who are called Brahmanas, they are the best. And among the Brahmanas who have studied the Vedas, they are more higher. And among all those who have studied the Vedas and they understood the essence of Vedas to worship the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, they are the most best. And above that are the Brahmanas who can dissipate all kind of doubts. And better than them are those Brahmanas who strictly follow the Brahmanical principles. And above them are those personalities who have liberated themselves from material contamination. And finally, the epitome of this evolution cycle is explained by Kapil Dev, that best of all is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of any reward. So that is the highest level of evolution cycle in the human form of life. Why this human form of life is so rare, and how can we try to understand the rarity of human life? So there is a nice analogy which was shared by a devotee with me. So it says that in an ocean there are many tortoises, and normally in the ocean the tortoise resides inside the water. There is a very less proximity for it to come onto the surface. And in the ocean also there is a less probability that we find a log of wood. Because normally the log of wood will be on the shore. And that log of wood having a hole is also a rarity. We can expect that. And that tortoise coming onto the surface and putting its head into that hole is the rarest of probability. So that is the extent of probability of rarity for the human form of life. It is very rarely achieved. And what is happening with all of us? We all are utilizing this human form of life just for merrymaking. Ahar nidra bhay maithunam cha samanyam etat pashubhir naranam dharmo hitesham adiko visheshu dharme nahino pashubhir namana. Everyone is engaged in ahar, nidra, bhay and maithuna, eating, sleeping, sex and defense. But human form has a special gift, that is to utilize its discrimination and intelligence to do what is good and what is not good. So a human who has urge to search for God is the best, but if doesn't have that tendency, he is engaged in animalistic propensities, then he is no better than an animal. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one who abuses human life prepares his path to hell. In Bhagavad Gita, In the 16th chapter, Krishna mentions about divine and demoniac natures. So there, he mentions that a person who is satiated with lust, pride, anger, he is trying to create a way for the hellish life. At the end of that section, in Krishna mentions that aneka chitta vibhranta moha jala samavrita prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narake ashucho. When one is perplexed by various kind of anxieties and bound by the network of illusions, he becomes too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and falls down into deep dark hell. In one of the conversations, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the village area or in the forest area, we have dark wells which are not utilized for regular practice of removing water for usage. So many animals who are passing by in the forest for grazing, because there is a lot of grass over it, mistakenly they fall into that deep dark well. And if no one comes to their rescue, they have to end up their life in that deep dark well. Similarly, if this human form of life cannot be utilized for God consciousness, then it can also land up in a hellish life. That is why in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that God has specifically created the human form of life to facilitate the liberation of conditioned soul. Now we have understood, we have discussed about the importance of human form of life. Let's try to get into some more details that what should the proper attitude a human being should possess once he have received this gift of human life. In the 11th canto, Uddhav Gita section, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava that the residents of both heaven and hell desire a human birth because it facilitates one for transcendental knowledge and love of Godhead. A human being who is wise should never desire promotion to heavenly or hellish planets. Indeed, a human being should also never desire permanent residence on this planet Earth, because this is also a temporary location. Rather, he should engage his activities for self-interest and self-realization. A wise person who knows that material body is subject to death and it can avoid perfection of one's life should not foolishly neglect to take advantage of this opportunity before death arrives. As we know that Parikshit Maharaj was given notice period for 7 days, but we don't know how much notice period we all have. Any moment death can arrive and everything can go in vain. So there Krishna gives an example of that bird which forms a nest on a tree, and a woodcutter is coming and is trying to cut that tree. If the bird is smart enough, what will she do? She will relocate itself. If it is a foolish bird, it will end its life when the tree falls down. So similarly, here Krishna mentions that knowing that one's duration of life is cut down every day and night by rising of sun and by setting of the sun, one should shake in fear. Normally we have an experience of shaking in malaria fever, but we have never experienced to shake when there is death on our doorstep. And finally, in that section, Krishna speaks about the importance of human body and how when one takes shelter of Guru, he is bound to get liberation. Naradeham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puvan bhavabdir natare sa atmaha. Naradeham, the body of a human life, is sulabham. It is very beneficial. Although it is sudurlabham, it is very difficult to achieve. Plavam, it's compared to a boat. Sukalpam, it is very nicely designed and made so that one can seek shelter of Guru Karnadharam, because that boat has been taken care by Guru, who is the captain of that boat. Maya anukulena nabhasvateritam. Krishna is saying that Maya, me, I am acting like anukula nabhasvateritam, the winds which are very favorable for practicing devotional service in this human body. Puman bhavabdim natare sa atmaha. But one who does not receive this body wholeheartedly, he is considered to be atmaha, one who is killing the soul. There is a similar verse which appears in the beginning of 10th canto, because 10th canto glorifies the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And so in the beginning, first chapter itself, there is a very beautiful verse which speaks about the glories of the process of chanting and hearing. Nivritta tarshe rupagiya manad bhavaushadashotra manobhiramad ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyet vina pashugnat. One who is not aware about the importance of the process of chanting and hearing in this human form of life is considered to be like a butcher who kills his own self. In the same line, there are acharyas who are also very vehemently given us nice bhajans in which they are speaking about the importance of human form of life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions that durlabha manava janama labhiya samsare krishna na bhajino dukkha kahibare kahare. He says that we all have achieved this human form of life, but if you don't do bhajan of Krishna, then where we will go and speak out our miseries? So at the end of that bhajan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that one who has sharp intelligence, please give up this temporary illusions presented by Maya and kindly search after the means to get pure devotion to Lord Krishna. For this is the only really tangible eternal truth. Srila Narottam Das Thakur also mentions, Hari Hari Vifale Janam Gunaino Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Shuniya Vishakhainu. Although we have received this precious gift of human life, and because we have not worshipped Radha and Krishna, we have knowingly drank poison. That poison which leads us to a hellish life. Now a beautiful question arises, is just being human enough for all of us? At least I think that it's not enough. Because just by being human and wearing a t-shirt which proclaims that being human over it and doing all kind of nonsensical activities is not the proper behavior of a human being. Because we have apparently unlimited free will in a very limited time frame of life. as we discussed a couple of minutes ago, by the rising and setting of sun, the lifespan decreases. And if he doesn't utilize that opportunity for discussing the topics of the Supreme Person of Godhead, we give up that opportunity to attain love of God. Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita about the rarity of devotional service and devotees. He says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit yatati siddhayet yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvatah. Out of thousands, one may endeavor for perfection, and among such thousands of people, one may achieve perfection in this path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhdev, while instructing his sons, he speaks about a very important term, tapo divyam, nayam deha bhajam narloke. In that verse, he speaks about tapo divyam. So there are many people across this globe, in this creation, who have been practicing various kinds of tapasya. Someone may be standing on a single leg for months together. Someone may have submerged themselves in water. Someone must have lit a fire around them and seated inside and meditating. So these kind of tapasyas are very formidable for one to do. But this tapasya will not fetch one love of Godhead, because to some extent, tapasya austerity can fetch pride also. So that pride again leads to hellish life. That is why the word tapo divyam is mentioned here. Tapasya, which is divyam, which is very transcendental in nature. And what to say about someone born in Bharat Bhumi, having a human form of life, high parentage and high cultural heritage, nice sanskaras, and with that topping on the cake, he has the association of devotees. It's a ongoing instruction to all the people of Mother India, where Lord Chaitanya instructs that Bharat Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janmajar Janma Sarthak Kari Kar Parupkar. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions that human life is meant for God realization, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Although we Indians now have been caught up in merrymaking lifestyle, Prabhupada is reminding us that one should give up this animalistic tendencies and take to this process of Krishna consciousness and preach this gospel to all and one. And this is what our acharyas have also preached to us. Right from the Shad Goswamis, they all have taken to this task of preaching this Krishna conscious movement. We have Shyamananda Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya. So in that same line, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the pioneer of modern day Krishna consciousness, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who institutionalized the path of bhakti so that everyone can seek shelter and practice bhakti nicely. And what to speak of Srila Prabhupada, who went across the globe to establish this movement for the welfare of each and every living entity. So Srila Prabhupada gifted us all this rare jewel of pure devotional service, which no other sampradaya or no other parampara had offered us. And this pure devotional service has very divine qualities. In the very first few verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions about the six transcendental characteristics of Shuddha Bhakti. So I'd like to discuss a little about these characteristics, but would like to also mention a point here that recently we all have celebrated 21 days of Chandanyatra festival, and There are very beautiful qualities which Chandan, the sandalwood, possesses. And if we try to analyze these qualities, then we can have a nice connectivity between sandalwood qualities and the six characteristics of pure devotional service. Among all the yoga practices, bhakti yoga is the best. And among all kinds of wood which is available in creation, the best is sandalwood. So I'd like to share some qualities of sandalwood and connect them to the six characteristics of devotional service. Although whatever I'll speak, they are not in sequence, but they are part of it. The first and foremost quality of Chandan is cooling. It cools the body when it is applied on the body or it is accepted inside. Because many places there are some traditional drinks which are offered to the deities where they mix Chandan paste with sugar and they offer it, or jaggery. So this cooling effect is a very important virtue of sandalwood. And another virtue of sandalwood is it heals the body. Whatever bodily ailments we have, to some extent, can be healed by merely just usage of sandalwood. And this we can compare to the first characteristic of pure devotional service, which is kleshagni. So as soon as we come in touch with bhakti, whatever miseries were there in our, whatever sinful activities or sinful desires were there in our heart, they all gradually get diminished, and there is a healing effect which happens in our heart. The next virtue of sandalwood is it has nice aroma, fragrance. That is why in the powder form, as talcum powder, we have. Then in the paste form, sandalwood paste, we apply to Sri Gopal during the 21 days of Chandan Yatra festival. And also in the oil form, every day Sri Gopal is being massaged after our darshan closes at 8 p.m. Even in the morning also. It is said that when the Lord returns after grazing the cows and calves, he is very tired. So that is why Mother Yashoda used to take sandalwood oil and massage the body of Krishna. So when we have a nice fragrance before us, it creates a very auspicious atmosphere around us. Similarly, when bhakti enters our lives, there is very auspicious environment created in our life. Then we have a virtue called nourishment. So sandalwood nourishes the devotee's devotion by, when it is fed, when one takes sandalwood, his body nourishes. Similarly, when we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, the devotion in our heart gets nourishment, because we are involved in Navidha Bhakti. And that situates one in a platform of pleasure and bliss, which we compare in the six characteristics as Sandrananda Visheshatma. Then we have a quality of detoxification. So as soon as we start taking Chandan or usage of Chandan for our bodily ailments, we see that whatever unwanted doshas were there in their body, they are gradually removed or relieved. Similarly, when we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, there are many unlimited desires in our heart. Desire for adoration, desire for pride, desire for fame. And also we have a very deep-rooted desire for liberation. In Bhaktarama Sindhu, we know that there are multiple quotes which Rupa Goswami quotes about how a devotee doesn't desire for liberation. So this detoxification of the anarthas in our heart, when it happens, then a devotee gives up his desire for liberation, that is moksha laghuta krit. In Sanatana Siksha, Lord Chaitanya says that yehi jahan nahi tahan bhakti ahetuki, jahan hoite vasha hoi Sri Krishna kautuki. This means that wherever there is causeless devotional service which is unmotivated by any kind of sense enjoyment, perfection or liberation, one is freed from all kind of such contaminations and he can bring Krishna, who is very funny, Kautuki, he is very funny personality, under his control. Another quality of Chandan is, it is very rarely found. We don't see, as we have these palm trees or Ashok Vriksha all across our habitation, we don't find sandalwood everywhere. So it's available very rarely amongst us. Similarly, bhakti, Shuddha bhakti, is also very rarely received and is very rarely found. That is why it is sudurlabha. And finally, this is a very beautiful quality of sandalwood, is it nurtures one's devotional creeper and makes it grow gradually and start penetrating through this material creation, enters into the Brahma Jyoti and then into the Vaikuntha planets, till it finally reaches to its destination of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. The utmost care which is provided by this sandalwood, it nurtures our body. Similarly, this process of bhakti, when it is performed in the association of devotees under the care of authorities and guru, gradually it is taken care. We speak about devotee care. So this is what devotee care means, that a guru takes care, whole responsibility of the devotional creeper, so that it very safely reaches to Krishna's abode. And then it develops natural attraction for Shishi Radha and Krishna. That is Sri Krishna Akarshan. So these are few similarities the six characteristics of devotional service have with a very purest form of wood which we offer as a love, as a offering of love and devotion to our Lord during this Chandani Yatra. So Krishna explains in Gita that this process of bhakti is very simple. Anyone can do it. And when one does it with a proper understanding about the tattva of the Supreme Lord, it becomes more easy. So Krishna mentions about the peace formula in the fifth chapter of Gita. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantam rachyati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. Gyatva ma shantam richati. Srila Prabhupada, in Gita, one of the Gita purports, in the eighth chapter, he mentions about how this devotional service which we have received on a very rare basis at a one go can help us attain the highest perfection of life. I'll just read out this one sentence of Srila Prabhupada. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, however, is that by one stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of the different orders of life. Whatever processes we follow, whatever ashrama we are placed in, by just merely being engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, at one go, one can attain the perfection of life. And just to conclude, I want to share a nice quote by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, which he speaks on the occasion of a theme of humanity. He says, the human form of life is to develop love for God. The best use of this precious human life is to explore higher and deeper levels of happiness. We need to understand that humans are a very special species in God's creation, and they are capable of experiencing a much more satisfying and purposeful life. So, having been born in India, attained a human form of life, received a nice parental lineage, nice culture, nice sanskaras, and of course the precious jewel of the association of devotees, we all have an opportunity to perfect this human form of life by engaging our propensities, dovetailing them in the service of Krishna, and one day we all be able to attain the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthara Srimad Bhagatam ki Tai Gaur Premanande.